Seated, and thank you, David, for a great song service this morning. And thank all of you for being here. It's great to have all of you here. We do have a number of guests visiting with us today, and we have a large group from the Alta Mesa congregation up in Fort Worth, and we're so appreciative of your presence, and also a group from the Walnut Hill Church of Christ, and a group from over in Houston, Texas, who were all here last evening and are here to share this worship hour with us. And we're so grateful and thankful that all of you have come. It is a beautiful day outside. It is, as David said, the day that the Lord hath made, and we have every right to rejoice and be glad in it. And we hope that you'll stay and give us an opportunity to meet you and greet you personally. And if you are from in our city here, we certainly hope that you'll do the same. We hope all of you will join us for lunch following this worship service here this morning. Adequate preparation has been made. And we would hope that all of you would want to be a part of that fellowship as well. A big thank you to David and to Jennifer for hosting the annual Easter egg hunt yesterday for all of the young children here in our congregation. I know that it is a week early. Easter is next Sunday. By the way, I do want to encourage you to come early and avoid the rush. People will get here that haven't been here since last Christmas. But we do want to encourage all of you to come and be here. I said to a fellow one time that he needed to be more regular in his worship. And he said, "I'm as regular as clockwork." I said, "You are?" And he said, "Yes." He says, I'm regular." He says, "I'm there every Christmas and every Easter." Well, there may be a lot of folks like that. But we hope that you would want to come and be in our fellowship here every Lord's Day and whenever that opportunity presents itself, in all seriousness. You know, you and I are a people that always want something to make us stronger. You know, we hear a lot today about physical strength. People want to do a lot of things to toughen up the body, to strengthen the muscles in their body, and do everything that they can. This morning, I want to talk to you about how to be strong, spiritually speaking. Something to make you strong, if you will. We have projects at home. We do. You know, we always want to fix up the house and get it all in proper order. We have company visiting with us this weekend, Ray and Donna Franks, and it's always good to have them. I didn't tell you that Audrey had me busy all week with all these little home projects, getting everything in order for your coming. She was really like Martha, and we're going to read about here in a moment, who was careful and troubled about many, many things, Ray. But anyway, we do all these little home projects. We have home projects. We have health projects. We go to the gym. People even have personal trainers today to help them be strong in a physical sense. We have responsibilities around town and around home and things that have to be dealt with. Well, there are some things that we need to be doing that are even more important than these that we have discussed here. That is, that we ought to be reading the Bible every day. We ought to be praying to God. We ought to be coming together in worship, as I mentioned a moment ago. Now, I want to help you focus your attention this morning on the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 38 through about verse 42. Jesus is telling Martha, and you remember the story of Martha in the Bible, and they were some of the great close friends of Christ, Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. Well, anyway, in the book of Luke chapter 10, verse 38 and 42, she was getting ready for company. And anyway, in this particular story, in verse 38, the Bible says, "It came to pass, as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came in and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she might help me.' And Jesus said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" Do you realize that in our life, sometimes the things that we consider to be urgent are not necessarily the things that are important? And there is a tremendous difference. Many of us go through life taking care of the urgent and not the important. And Martha was doing that. She was getting ready for Christ to come. And she's a little troubled about her sister, who's not helping her and assisting her with all those preparations. But she had rather hear the word of Christ. And so when she is in the presence of Jesus, she is wanting Jesus to speak to her. And then Jesus, upon Martha coming in, Jesus says unto her, You are upset and worried about a lot of things unnecessarily. So this morning, I want to share with you some things that I consider to be important, everyday things that you should do to keep you strong, spiritually speaking. What could you do this morning that is going to make you a strong, spiritual person? Well, let me leave you with a few of those thoughts here this morning. When life puts you in tough situations, and we've all been there, you may be experiencing one this morning if the truth were really known. If life puts you in a difficult situation, don't say, "Why me?" but rather take a positive approach to it and say, "Try me. Just try me, God, try me, and let me do what your will is for my life, regardless." Someone said that happiness keeps you sweet, and trials will keep you strong. Sorrows will keep you human, and failures will make you humble. And it is God who will keep you going, and he does. Now, let me leave with you four specific things this morning that I really believe that you and I need to do. First of all, let me tell you, we should let God say something to us every day. When was the last time you let God say something to you? And I'm not talking about in a miraculous way. I'm talking about God speaking to us through his word. I hear these theologians talk all the time, and the religious prognosticators who say, "Well, you know, God spoke to me this morning," and I'm going to tell you something. I've heard preachers get up and say, "Well, I didn't know what I was going to preach on this morning. I just let God lay it on my heart." Well, if that had happened to me, folks, I'm going to tell you what, I would be like the New Testament church who would go everywhere preaching the word. I mean, I wouldn't have any idea what I was going to be talking about. I heard about a preacher one time who got up, and when he got in the pulpit, he confessed to the brethren. He says, "Brethren," he said, "this morning I had my notes in my Bible." And he said, "I was coming to worship." And he said, "Me and the Lord are the only two that knew what I was going to preach on. And after I lost my notes, only the Lord knows now." Well, I know what I'm going to preach on this morning. I know what I'm going to talk about, and I'm going to talk about things that will make you spiritually strong. And if you follow these, I can tell you, you will be a strong spiritual person. Let God say something to you every day. Sometimes we think that God has already exhausted himself and he has nothing left to say. I believe that God speaks to our heart. I don't believe that God speaks in an audible way where we hear his voice, but I do believe that he speaks to our heart in this sense. We pray unto God oftentimes, and we say, "God, do this or do that," or, "God, would you please bless so-and-so," and we ask God for wisdom. Well, how do we know that we have the wisdom that comes from God? I believe that if we bathe our request in prayer, that God puts it in our mind, and he lays it on our heart what we are to do. And in that sense, we should let God say something to us every day. Too many of us go day after day without ever looking into the Bible to read and allow God to speak to us. And by doing this, listen, we are refusing to allow God to say something unto us. When was the last time you read the Bible? When was the last time you really opened the Word of God for God to speak to you? Did you pray? You may have read the Bible, but did God really speak to you? There's a difference. You know what? You can open the Bible and you can read from its pages without God speaking to you. You can quote scripture without it ever really meaning anything to you at all? When did you allow the Word to run full course in your life and allow God to really speak to you through His Word? There are several passages in the Bible that are truly significant that I want to share with you also this morning that refer to how God's Word is so important. In the book of Psalms 119, verse 105, David said, "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. It lightens me right where I am. It gives me great insight and depth to life and living. And then it also lightens my future. It is a lamp to my feet right here, but a light to my pathway." In Psalms 1, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says that the blessed man is the man who delights in the Word of Almighty God. In the book of Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, the Bible says of the Bereans that they were more noble than those of Thessalonica because they searched the Scripture daily to see if the things that were really being taught were so, and whether it really was a message that came from God. In the book of 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says that we're to study to show ourselves approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the Word of God. We should read the Bible every day. We should read the Bible to learn how to make improvements in our lives. We study the Word of God. There again, not just reading it, but studying it. If you want to go from a bad person to a good person, study the Bible. You want to go from a good person to an excellent person, spiritually speaking, study the Word of God. You and I, God wants to make us new and improved. That's the way we ought to live our lives every day. The psalmist said, "The mercies of God are new every morning," and they are. When was the last time that you let God say something to you through His Word? So number one, let God say something. You want to be spiritually strong? Let God say something to you every day. And listen for the voice of God. Secondly, we ought to say something to God every day. We talk about prayer and how important prayer really is. We sing about it. We talk about it in general terms, and sometimes we go to God, we bow our head, and we utter a few words. But when do we really pray to God? I'm talking about pouring out your very being before the throne of God. We should say something to God many times a day, and if nothing more than just simply saying, "God, thank you. Thank you." We treat God kind of like a bellhop sometimes, and we go to Him with all these requests. But when do we really stop and just simply say, "God, thank you for what you've already done. God, I'm not here to ask you for anything other than to tell you, thank you, thank you for being a wonderful Father in heaven." If we don't do that, I have learned that prayer will stop the sin, but sin will stop your prayers. God does a lot of things when we pray. God hears our prayer. He heeds to our request. He answers our prayer. And He delivers when we pray or by prayer. You see all these signs in the yards that say that prayer is America's last hope. And it is true. It is true. It is. Prayer is America's only hope. It always has been. Sometimes we don't realize that. We wait maybe until we have some kind of administration in Washington that we don't like, or maybe they're trying to pass some bill up in the halls of Congress that we're not favorable with, and then we turn and we say, "Well, you know, prayer is America's only hope." But let me tell you something, folks. Prayer has always been America's only hope. It is true. In the book of Luke, the 18th chapter, verse 1 through 8, the Bible says, "And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not faint. Saying, there was a city judge," and one translation renders it, "who feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear with them long? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Prayer should be a part of our daily life. Too many times the only time we pray is at the meal table, and only a few do that anymore. Sometimes people just assume that God ought to know that they're thankful. They never really tell him. Prayer should be a part of our daily life. Prayer moves the mountains in our lives. In the book of Matthew 17 and verse 20, the Bible says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence in yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. God is still in the mountain moving business. That is what he is about. And there are many mountains in our lives. Sometimes they're mountains that we don't like to admit. They're mountains of hate. They're mountains of animosity. There are mountains of worldliness and immorality that in our lives that need to be removed. And God says, if you just had a small amount of faith, and the mustard seed is the smallest seed known to man, and Christ is drawing that analogy. If you take that small seed, if you had faith that much, you could say to the mountain that is in your life with which you are confronted every day, be away from me, then the mountain would be moved. In James chapter 4 and verse 2, James says, you lust and you have not. You kill and you desire to have and you cannot obtain. You fight and you war, yet you have not, because you ask not. Do you know that a lot of the things that we have that are really desires within our heart, God withholds them from us because we don't ask for them. He's waiting for us to go to his throne and ask. Didn't Jesus say, ask and it shall be given thee? Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. We are to be a people of whom Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. When he said that we are to pray without ceasing. Don't ever give up your prayer life. Let God say something to you, but you say something to God. Faith can move mountains. And if that faith can move mountains, if prayer and faith can move mountains in our lives, how many mountains have you removed from your own life? Now there's a third thing that you need to know. If you want to be strong spiritually, focus on what I'm telling you. Number three, say something for God every day. Let God say something to you. You say something to God. But thirdly, say something for God every day. That is, tell the world about Jesus, your Lord and your Savior. And then I ask you a question this morning. Are you telling the world about Jesus? Are you telling the world, your friends around you every day, about how important Christ is to you? There's a song that hit the charts a number of years ago, and it really is in many of the hymnals, and I think maybe in one of our hymnals, it's called, It Is No Secret What God Can Do. What he's done for others, he will do for you. God is no respecter of persons. What God has done for others, he will do for you. But too many days and months and years go by without us ever speaking to someone about the God that we claim to love. I would say this morning that by and large, the majority of us in here are Christians. I read a very interesting statistic the other day. Interesting yet alarming. Did you realize that less than 10% of those who claim to be born-again Christians will ever share their faith in Christ before they die? Does that trouble you? It does me. Less than 10% of those of us who claim to be the children of God will ever tell a friend or a loved one or anyone in their family or any an acquaintance about Jesus. Jesus is the name that is above all names. The Bible says that God hath highly exalted him in Philippians chapter 2 and then given him a name which is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. We should talk more about God and allow him to really become the topic of our conversation in life. But very seldom does God ever really come up in a conversation. We talk about a lot of things. We talk about politics, we talk about the weather, we talk about the dogwood trails. We talk about everything except God. It's almost like people are embarrassed to bring up the name of God anymore. Very seldom do we ever talk about our Lord. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I can't brag about my love for God because I fail my God every day. But I can brag about his love for me because his love never, ever fails. It doesn't. God says, I have drawn you with an everlasting love. In Mark the 16th chapter in verse 15, when the Bible talks about going into all the world and preaching the gospel, that starts on the job. I've heard people say, well, I can't talk about Jesus on the job. Yes, you can. Who told you you couldn't? It starts in the neighborhood. What about the people that live next door to you or the people who live across the street from you? Do you ever talk to them about Jesus, or do they even know that you are a Christian? It starts in school. What if no one had ever talked to you or your parents about Jesus? I suspect my grandparents influenced my mother and my father. I had a grandfather that was an elder in the Lord's church many, many years ago. My father and my mother were both devoted Christians. But that didn't just happen. It happened because of the influence of someone else on their lives. And I can tell you for sure that you and I have an influence upon others as well. And I'm thankful for whoever it was that talked to my grandparents about Jesus who came from Georgia. My folks came from Georgia. And I'm thankful for those folks over there who talked to them about the Lord. And when they came to Texas, they held on to that same great faith in God. And they taught their children, and their children taught their children, and I'm trying to teach my children and have, and they're trying to teach their children, and generation after generation. Say something for God. But then last of all, you want to stay strong spiritually? Start practicing your religion. Don't let it just be talk. Let it be walk. Let God say something to you every day. Say something to God every day. Say something for God. And fourthly, do something for God every day. Just remember that when nobody else was there for you, God was there. And he will never leave you alone. He won't. But God says we need to do something. You know, if you never ever really saw God doing anything in your life, you would begin to question whether or not God is real or that God is alive. And when someone tells me, hey, I'm a Christian, but I'm never ever really privy to anything that they ever do for God, I would begin to question their religion. I would begin to question their Christianity. For you see, Jesus says, you will know a tree by the fruit that it bears. He said, a good tree cannot bear evil fruit. Nor can an evil tree bear good fruit. Not going to happen. Bitter water cannot come from a good stream. Not going to happen. We are so busy. Every day. And very little is being done for your Lord and your Master. How much time do you really spend doing something for God? And you may say, well, you know, I come to church. I'm here every Sunday morning. I'm here on Wednesday night. I'm here on Sunday night. Isn't that doing something for God? No, that's God doing something for you. When you put yourself in the presence of God, God is doing something in and through you. I saw a sign one time at a church building, and I thought it was really a classic. It says, enter to worship, depart to serve. We talk about worship. We call them worship services. This is a worship period. We leave the worship to go serve. That's what we are about. And we need to be doing something for God every day. You want to be spiritually strong? Isn't it true? I mean, you know what? You'll never be strong in your body unless you do something to make your muscles strong, to improve your heart rate, to get your lungs where they're pumping oxygen once again and taking in oxygen, and you're living and your brain is alive and well. It is a proven fact that when you do not exercise and when you live sedentary lives, it is a proven fact that you will grow old quickly. I am 66 years old today. Do I look 66? Don't answer that question. I had a lady last night that told me I look 40. I felt pretty good about that. What I'm telling you, though, folks, you want to look alive spiritually, start doing something for God every day. Get off the pew. And start doing something. God doesn't reward the talkers, but the walkers. Galatians 6 and verse 1 says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good, not be good, do good to all men, but especially them that are of the household of faith. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, echoed these great and immortal words found in Matthew 5:16. So let your light shine before the world, that they might see your good work and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Why? Why will they glorify God? Because they see your good work. They see what you're doing. So much of what we do in this world is really vain. It is. And it won't matter 100 years from now. Not one thing of what we do for God is an act of vanity. It is not. It will last for all eternity. Do you realize, according to Matthew 25, 31 through 46, that your talent is God's gift unto you? It is. It is true. But what you do with it is your gift back to God. Your talent, your ability is a gift from God. But what you really do with it and how you use it is your gift back to Him. That's why in the book of 1 Corinthians 15:58, the Bible says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. No vanity when you're serving God. And do you realize that God wants to do something amazing in your life? We sing about God's amazing grace. Did you realize that God really wants to do something amazing in your life? I stand, as that song says, I stand amazed at the love of God and how powerful He is. I have also come to believe that the bigger your obstacle, the bigger your future. So don't get discouraged. You just keep moving forward. So how can you be strong spiritually? And how can you enjoy your life? How can you enjoy your life? Well, realize that life is not about finding yourself. But life is about creating yourself. And being made in the image of Christ. That's what it's about. And the only way that you will ever try to really find fulfillment in this life is to become a Christian. You will never be strong spiritually until you become like Christ. By your faith and your obedience to Jesus and the new birth and baptism. Acts 2 and verse 38. The question is, are you ready to do that this morning? Baptism is how you get into Christ. It is. There's no other way to get into Christ except by being baptized into Jesus. Baptism is how you get into Jesus. Galatians 3, 26 and 27 says, for as many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. And then in Romans, the 6th chapter and verse 3, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? There are five things that we find in Christ, that we have when we get into Him. That is His grace, number one. His grace. Well, by grace are you saved, Ephesians 2 and verse 8. And every spiritual blessing, forgiveness of our sin, salvation, and no condemnation. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. The Bible says there is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. We are baptized into Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. And Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. But the question this morning is, are you ready to find your strength in Christ? Let me ask you a question this morning. How strong are you spiritually? Are you satisfied with your spiritual strength? Are you unhappy with it? Do you feel like, I'm not as strong? You know, I need to start working out spiritually. You want to toughen your body? Start working out physically. You want to toughen your spirit? Start walking the walk. And you begin here today as we stand and as we sing.